So we're continuing this evening and concluding our seminar on the six Goswamis. Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And this evening we are going to say some words about Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, very, very great devotees and members of the group called the Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Just one little thing I thought I could tell you first of all is that I mentioned, let's see now, the Six Goswamis, they're very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. They really understand him. Therefore, they're able to explain him better than anyone else because he is Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and they are very practically the most intimate associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, in his Vrindavan pastimes. They are Manjaris. And let me just tell you who is who amongst the six Goswamis amongst the Manjaris. Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. And just incidentally, he worshipped the very famous and ancient deity of Govinda. Sanatan Goswami is Rati Manjari, or sometimes said to be Lavanga Manjari, and he worshipped Madan Mohan. Jiva Goswami, we talked about last night, he is Vilas Manjari, and of course his deity is Damodar, who we're celebrating tonight and this month, this lunar month. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who we also discussed last night, he is Guna Manjari, and of course he worshipped Radha Raman. Then Raghunath Das Goswami, who we'll talk about right now, he is Rasa Manjari, and he worshipped, well, particularly, he worshipped a Govardhan Shila, which was given to him by Lord Chaitanya, and which is nowadays, it's in a temple in Vrindavan town, the Radha Gokulananda temple. That little Shila, it's only small, it's like this sort of size, kind of square, flat. Yeah, so Raghunath Das Goswami worshipped that. He was given that Govardhan Shila by Lord Chaitanya. And he worshipped that Govardhan Shila. Then Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who we'll talk about in a little while, he is Raga Manjari. And he helped with the worship, with Rupa Goswami's worship of Govinda. Yes, so, okay, so let us now then, let's say, focus for a little while on Raghunath Das. Goswami's a very interesting person. He was born in a family of great devotees like all the other Goswamis pretty much. But they weren't just great devotees. They were very, very wealthy. His father's income was something like the equivalent of $5 million a month. Yeah. They're just fantastically wealthy. And he was the only child. So it was all to be his. But he had the association. Oh, they were already devotees, but he had a lot of association with Haridas Thakur. And so he was really becoming more and more inspired in Krishna consciousness and thinking of just giving everything up. Giving everything up. Imagine giving up your house in Malabar to just come and join the Hare Krishna temple here in, what is this, Alexandra Road, is it? Yes. Alexander or Dra?
Dra.
Dra. Yes, well, they were even better situated than I think all of us put together. Much better. So they could see, his parents could see, that he's becoming sort of, you know, distracted heavily, gradually more and more, and gradually heavily distracted. He actually met Lord Chaitanya. He was the first of the six Goswamis to meet Lord Chaitanya. He met Lord Chaitanya just immediately after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, like a couple of days later. You know, that's quite a story, how Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. We'll tell you some other time. But he went to a place called Katwa. It's across the Ganges from Mayapur, Navadweep, and up a bit to the north. Not far at all, actually, but a little distance. And he took sannyas there in that place called Katwa. But then, within a couple of days, he returned, not exactly to Mayapur, Navadweep, but just not far from there, where Advaita Acharya lived, the place was called Shantipur. So he returned there and as a sannyasi, and thousands of devotees gathered over a period of about 10 days. Lord Chaitanya was there. And Raghunath Das Goswami, well, at the time he was just Raghunath Das. He also came from, the place was called Panihati. It's not too far, it's a little distance, but not too far from Shantipur. So there he met Lord Chaitanya. He saw Lord Chaitanya, this incredible festival going on for 10 days, and he became deeply moved, very deeply moved, and feeling like just leaving everything and just joining Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya spoke to him and told him, he said, don't become like a monkey renunciate. Means, you know, someone who has strong material desires tries to renounce the world. But, you know, strong material desires are not something you can just sort of throw out the window just like that. As, you know, as they say, old habits die hard, and old attachments die hard. Yes. And, you know, these deep attachments, it really takes some time and effort to become free from them. Although, through Krishna consciousness, step by step, it can definitely be done. But Lord Chaitanya warned him, don't become that sort of renunciate. A monkey renunciate means monkeys. You don't have so many here, I don't think, do you, in PE? monkeys? I haven't seen any. In Durban, we have loads of monkeys, particularly in our temple. Just in the last year, the monkeys have moved in. Oh, they've moved in. For so many years since we opened in 85, we never saw a monkey. Hardly. Now every day there's monkeys. They've come for food for life. Actually, it's a fact. That's what they come for prasadam. So anyway, yeah, monkey renunciate means the monkeys, they're very renounced. They have no fixed abode, no residence. They just live in trees. They don't earn any money and then go to the supermarket to buy something to eat. They just get some fruit from a tree or from wherever they can grab it. But even though they look renounced, you know, staunch vegetarians, they never gamble. You'll never see them at the Wild Coast. It was funny, once in 83 actually, we went to me and Madhavi Prabhu, if you know Madhavi Prabhu, we visited the Wild Coast. It's a bit of a long story, but we wanted to see what the accommodation was like, because there was a program there, but it was just ended up being just nearby. So we went in, and the first thing as you go in the entrance, you go through the casino. And we're going, you know, we had to go through the casino to see the rooms. And there in the casino, there are all these little Mataji's from Chatsworth with saris on, playing the machines. Anyway, that's by the way. Monkey renunciate. So the monkeys don't gamble. You never see them smoking or drinking mainstay. They're staunch vegetarians. But as Prabhupada said, every monkey has a girlfriend in every surrounding tree. So this is a monkey renunciate. So that's what Lord Chaitanya said. And he gave a very interesting example. Now, you got to listen to this one, but you've got to fasten your seat belts, because it's just, you probably wouldn't expect it from Lord Chaitanya. He said, you've got to stay at home. At that point, Raghunath Das was married. His parents had arranged for him to be married to a very wealthy, not as wealthy as them, but still very wealthy, and very highly cultured young lady, and extremely beautiful young lady. And the Lord Chaitanya said, yes, just stay at home, and you know, Krishna will arrange in due course. So what Lord Chaitanya said is that internally, you should be focused on Krishna, internally. But externally, do your duties as a family man and, you know, as a member of this extremely wealthy family who had all sorts of different business interests and things. So the example Lord Chaitanya gave, he said, you should be like a married woman who has a boyfriend. Yes. Internally, she's always thinking about him, how she'd like to meet him, but it's all just internal. But externally, so her husband does not understand that something is going on. Externally, she does her duties perfectly. So the husband thinks, I've got the best wife in the world. But actually, internally, she's focused on the boyfriend. So I know, extremely unusual example, but that's what Lord Chaitanya said. You be focused on Krishna internally, but externally do your duties, and Krishna will give you an opportunity when he thinks the time is right. So that's what Raghunath Das did. And next thing, like really significant thing that happened, not long after, it might have been a year or two or something, Lord Nityananda and a whole party of his closest associates, they came to Panihati, which is where Raghunath Das was living. His sort of family headquarters was there. Panihati is still there. And it's now more or less part of Greater Calcutta. It's just been absorbed in Calcutta as Calcutta spread and spread. Yeah. So Panihati, he was living there, and Lord Raghunath Das was living there, and Lord Nityananda came with his close associates, big group, and they gathered. They were sitting, at least Lord Nityananda and his main associates were sitting under a particular banyan tree on the banks of the Ganges. The banyan tree is still there. And Raghunath Das, when he heard this, he came running down. And then from a distance, he saw there's Lord Nityananda under the tree. But then he felt, as a very humble devotee, he felt, no, you know, I'm just caught up in material life. I'm not a real devotee. I can't approach Lord Nityananda. So from a distance, he offered obeisances on the ground and recited some prayers of glorification for Lord Nityananda. And then one of the associates told Lord Nityananda, look, there's Raghunath Das offering obeisances. And Lord Nityananda said, call him here. So he was called to come to Lord Nityananda. And so he came right up and offered obeisances to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda stuck both of his feet, bang, on the head of Raghunath Das Goswami, and said, you are a thief. You are a thief because you are depriving us of your association. You're a thief. It's very bad. And I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you. You have to arrange a feast for all of us, our whole party, hundreds of devotees, maybe more than hundreds. It was a really big group. You have to arrange a feast today. So, you know what a feast looks like. You're all experienced. Would you believe Lord Nityananda told Raghunath Das, you must arrange a feast of chipped rice and yogurt. Now, I don't know if you know enough, maybe, I'm sure some of you do, about these sorts of, technicalities of Indian or Bengali cuisine. But you know what chipped rice and yogurt is? It is what people take, what people are given when they have an attack of diarrhea. It's a fact. It's really a fact. When you go to India, particularly the first time, you must get diarrhea. It's part of the cultural experience. at least, you know, maybe not now, because things, India's changed tremendously since those days, and even since the first time I went there in 1976. In 1976, it was a rule. Go to India first time, you must get diarrhea. And generally everyone successfully did. So that's what it is. It's sort of like medicinal. And it's definitely not what you serve people when there's a feast. But this is what Lord Nityananda said. And this is what Raghunath Das did. He organized a massive, massive feast of chipped rice soaked in yogurt. And everyone had bowls of chipped rice and yogurt. And Lord Nityananda was very, very happy, very pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami. So, shortly after, Raghunath Das was able to leave home as he had wanted, but which Lord Chaitanya had warned him against some time before. You know what the significance of that is? The significance is that we can only really get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It's a very important point. Even though Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful, but you can only really approach him through Lord Nityananda. Yes. So that is what happened. Raghunath Das got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And therefore, then, at that time, or just shortly after, a special arrangement happened. And he was able to leave home. So what actually happened, just very shortly after, was that, you know, he's thinking how to leave, how to get out. But not only was he married and, you know, caught up in all those things, but his parents had like a security group guarding him. Yeah. Bodyguards, like a whole group of bodyguards, were with him on a permanent basis, 24 hours a day, ostensibly to protect him. But actually, their main thing was, you know, watch out if he makes a run for it. Grab him if he does. But one night, the family priest, Yadunandan Acharya, who's also a very great devotee, he was overseeing the worship of the family deity in the family temple. And as happens in ISKCON temples from time to time, one evening, the evening pujari, to do the evening arati and put the deities to rest, he didn't show up. You know, if any of you live in ISKCON temples, and this is a very small temple here, but, you know, a more developed temple, then you would know that every now and then the pujari doesn't turn up. And those who are running the temple, they had to quickly make some other arrangement because the worship has to go on. So Raghunath Das, this is late at night, and the final arati has to be done in putting the deities to rest. Raghunath Das volunteered, "I'll do it." It was late at night, his security men went, and he went. into the temple, but then he just zipped off and his parents never saw him again. Yeah, so this was like enough dust. And he ran, just like we mentioned, who was it? Srinivas. Or and Sanatan, actually, for that matter, ran to Jagannath Puri to join Lord Chaitanya. So Raghunath Das ran to Puri, and he got there from Panihati, means like from Calcutta. It's 500 kilometers. He got there in 12 days. Got there in 12 days. That's pretty good. 35 to 40 kilometers a day. Yeah. And there was Lord Chaitanya. And he met Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya received him, and, you know, very warmly and very affectionately. And Lord Chaitanya placed him under the supervision of, under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who, along with Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they were the closest group of associates of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So, for 5 days, Govinda, who was the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya, gave him Lord Chaitanya's remnants. And then after that, from the sixth day, Raghunath Das stood by the entrance to the Jagannath temple and just begged some food. In other words, he took up a very, very austere way of life. And Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he was very pleased. And then he gave him sannyas and the name Raghunath Das Goswami at that time. Then Lord Chaitanya instructed him. Listen to this. Do not talk like the people in general, or hear what they say. Don't eat very palatable food, and don't dress very nicely. Don't expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. One who thinks himself lower than grass, who's more tolerant than a tree, and who doesn't expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Shortly after that, so now Raghunath Das is begging outside the main entrance to the Jagannath temple. But then his parents found out he was there. So his parents then made arrangements to send him food and money, which he accepted for 2 years. And he would invite Lord Chaitanya for lunch twice a month. But after 2 years, Raghunath Das started sending, you know, people would come from Bengal with all this stuff, and he would just send them back. So then his parents stopped sending him, and he stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was very happy. So Raghunath Das went back outside the front entrance of the temple. But then, Lord Chaitanya, after a little while, he received a report Raghunath Das is no longer standing by the entrance of the temple. So Lord Chaitanya asked Govinda, his personal assistant, go and find out what is Raghunath Das doing? Where is he eating? So, what he did, first of all, he went to this like a food for life stall where you can just get free meals. First of all, he went there. But after a while, he stopped going there. And let's see. After a while, he, you know, in Jagannath Puri, one of the main things in Jagannath Puri is the prasadam, the Jagannath Mahaprasadam. It's sold vast quantities, huge quantities. It's sold, and it's given or sold to different shopkeepers who resell it. So those resellers, after, you know, whatever they couldn't sell after a few days, it starts to decompose. Yeah. It starts going rotten. So then, all the decomposing prasadam is thrown in a particular place. Just around the corner from the main entrance. And there's a group of cows, and they eat the decomposing Jagannath prasadam. So Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, he went to see where is Raghunath Das getting his prasadam from, and he found Raghunath Das there with the cows in this, you know, these piles of this decomposing prasadam. And what Raghunath Das was doing, he was taking decomposing rice, taking it away, washing off the outside, and inside there's a sort of a little bit of a some core or something. And he would mix that with a little salt and eat it. Govinda reported this to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that he's taking this extremely renounced position. The next day, Lord Chaitanya went there, and sure enough, there was Raghunath Das amidst the cows trying to sort out something. And Lord Chaitanya just grabbed him and grabbed some of the decomposing prasadam out of his hand and ate it and said, "You rascal, you are feasting here without inviting us." Yes. "You eat such nectar every day, but you never offer it to us. What is your character? Why don't you give anything to me?" And the Lord forcibly took a morsel and began to eat. And Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, was there. He tried to stop Lord Chaitanya from eating that. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Of course, every day I eat all sorts of varieties of prasadam, but I've never tasted such nice prasadam as that which Raghunath Das is eating." Yes. So seeing these severe penances of Raghunath Das, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. Shortly after that, one of the devotees, like associates of Lord Chaitanya, returned from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, and he brought with him some gifts for Lord Chaitanya. He brought Lord Chaitanya a garland of little conch shells, and he brought him a Govardhan Shila. This Govardhan Shila I mentioned earlier. So Lord Chaitanya, he would put the garland of conch shells around his neck, and he would worship the Govardhan Shila. It said, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that Govardhan Shila was always wet with the tears of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would hold it to his heart and sometimes to his eyes. Sometimes he would smell it with his nose and sometimes place it on his head. And he would say, this stone is directly the body of Lord Krishna. Mm. After a while, he gave that Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami in Puri. And Raghunath Das, when he finally went to Vrindavan, after Lord Chaitanya had left this world, means he stayed in Puri for some time. Some years. But after Lord Chaitanya left this world, he went to Vrindavan and he took the Govardhan Shila with him. Yes, okay. So then Lord Chaitanya left this world after a while, and Raghunath Das went to Vrindavan. And there he went into and was accepted in the association of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and became one of that, the very much inner circle. And we mentioned, I think last night or one of the nights, we mentioned his program. Let us just tell you what his program was. He would sleep and sort of do bodily maintenance like bathe and eat for about 1.5 hours out of 24, including sleeping. The rest of the time, first of all, he would chant 64 rounds a day. Then he'd give class about Lord Chaitanya for minimum 3 hours a day. Then he would offer obeisances 1,000 times to different deities. Then he would offer obeisances, and we don't mean, you know, just on the knees bowing down. Prabhupada called it jackknife obeisances. And you're up again. But means full dandavats on the floor. 1,000 times to different deities and 2,000 times to different devotees every day. And he continued that program until he became totally incapacitated and left this world finally. He would bathe in Radha Kund 3 times a day. Yes. So, that was really quite a program that Raghunath Das had. He lived, well, you may not know sort of Radha Kund, Shama Kund, the sort of layout there. But in between Radha Kund and Shama Kund, but more on the Shama Kund side, there's an area called Manasapavan Ghat. Ghat meaning bathing place. Manasapavan meaning which purifies the mind. delivers the mind. And his bhajan kutia, the place where he lived, is still there. At the time that he went there, the kuns were like, each kun, Radha kun, Chama kun, they were like about 4 meters across, means, you know, quite a bit smaller than this room, less than half the size of this room, each kun. But one devotee named Sampana, he had gone to Bhadrakashram in the Himalayas. There he had a dream in which the Lord told him he should go to Radha Kund and find Raghunath Das and find out what service he could do to help Raghunath Das. So this Sampana, who was a very wealthy person, he came. And under Raghunath Das's supervision, Radha Kund and Shama Kund were excavated to the sizes they are now. Yeah. Raghunath Das, he would not, you know, he would bathe in Radha Kund and Shama Kund, means just take a little dip for purification. Doesn't mean, you know, like taking a bath with soap and all that. For taking a bath, in that sense, he had the workers who were digging out Radha Kund and Shama Kund. He had them dig another, like a well, away at the back of Shama Kund. So they were digging. And one day as they're digging this quite substantial well, which is also still there, they hit a rock. One of the workers with his spade hit a rock, and the rock started bleeding. And they were just in shock. What is this? So they went and reported to Raghunath Das, who told them, stop digging, and let me just think about this. That night, in a dream, Govardhan appeared to him and told him, that was my tongue. That was my tongue that your workers said. Please take it out and put it in a little temple and see that it's worshipped. So they took out that. It's a Govardhan Shila. It's about this size by that size. You know, it's not big. But even today, you can have darshan of the tongue of Govardhan Hill. It's in the grounds of what they call the Radha Govinda Temple, just near Manasapavan Ghatan, the place where Raghunath Das Goswami lived. And if you go there, you can see the mark on the back of the rock made by the spade of the worker. And then you can also, if you go around further, you see the well, which they eventually dig out for bathing. So, let's see. All sorts of interesting things happened with Raghunath Das Goswami at Radha Kund, Shama Kund. He would, you know, we mentioned on the first night, I don't know if you remember, I think it was first night, how Rupa Goswami would chant and enter the Vrindavan pastimes of Radha and Krishna while chanting japa. So the same thing would happen with Raghunath Das. He would chant japa, But then he would enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he would lose his external consciousness. So one day that happened. He entered the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and Radha and Krishna that day were having a feast of sweet rice. And you know, Raghunath Das is one of the Manjaris. Who do you remember who he is? I think it's Rasa Manjari, yeah. So as Rasa Manjari, he's right there with Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna having this feast of the most delectable sweet rice. And when they finished, they gave the remnants to the Manjaris. And so all the Manjaris, including Rasa Manjari, who's Raghunath Das Goswami, they feasted on the sweet rice like mad. They just went for it. Not just because they wanted to eat, but because it's just nectar from the lips of Radha and Krishna. And they were just relishing it. So Rasamanjari ate a lot of sweet rice. Then, after a while, Raghunath Das Goswami came back to external consciousness. This was in the morning. A couple of hours later, it was lunchtime. He was going to have his normal lunch, one leaf cup of buttermilk. That's it. That's the lot. That's all he would eat every day. But he said no. So his assistant brought it. He said, no, you know, I don't feel well. My stomach is upset. So they called an Ayurvedic doctor. Can you please help Raghunath Das? He's suffering from an upset stomach. Maybe you can, you know, prescribe him something. He can go to the local chemist. Of course, they didn't have chemists. But anyway, you can help him. So the doctor did, you know how they do? Pulse diagnosis. Pulse, take the pulse. And they were actually able to do it. Nowadays, the doctors, they still try to do it. But they're not that clued up, usually. You know, sometimes if you go to one of them, they do it and they say, do you have a cold? No. Okay, yeah, I can tell you don't have a cold. Do you have an upset stomach? Yeah, I do. Ah, yes, I can tell. Anyway, you get the idea. But this fellow, he was good. And he said to the devotees who had gathered, no, I don't believe it. My diagnosis tells me Raghunath Das Goswami has indigestion from eating too much sweet rice. And the devotee said, no. Because he would never eat anything like that ever. And he hadn't eaten since the previous day at lunchtime, when he only had a cup of buttermilk. No, it can't be. Take another reading. Okay. Yes, that's the diagnosis. He has indigestion from eating too much sweet rice. And the devotee told the doctor, just get out of here. This is nonsense. And they called another doctor. But he also, they didn't tell him what the other diagnosis was. So he's also taking a reading. Oh, this is very strange. Is it really like that? It is. And he told them, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami has indigestion from eating too much sweet rice. And then the devotees said, oh, okay, just forget it. Just don't worry about it. But Raghunath Das Goswami just smiled. You know, one time he had an assistant named Krishna Das. One time he went to a particular place a few kilometers away. It's called Sakhistani. It's not far from Govardhan town, kind of the center of Govardhan Hill. And that is the place of Chandravali, who is the competitor of Radharani in the conjugal pastimes. And this Krishna Das, there he found this big tree with big leaves, with which he could make big leaf cups, from which Raghunath Das could have more buttermilk than the usual cups. So he took some leaves and made some cups, and then that day at lunchtime, he presented Raghunath Das Goswami with this big leaf cup with extra buttermilk in it. And Raghunath Das just took one look and said, where did you get this from? And Krishna Das said, from Sakhistani, there's a big tree there. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, he knew Sakhistani is the place of Chandravali, who's trying to beat Radharani to get the association of Krishna. So Raghunath Das did not appreciate Chandravali. Shri Shri Nitai Gaurasunda Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadradevi Ki Jai. So Raghunath Das, when he heard that it's from that place of Chandravali, he's holding the cup of buttermilk, he just threw it on the ground and said, never go back there again. And don't ever say the name of that place to me again. There's one very famous pastime, well it's actually sort of two in one, of Raghunath Das Goswami with Sanatan Goswami at Manasapavan Ghat. So his little, well at the time he was just living under the trees there. He didn't even have a hut. And he would just sit there during the day, and sort of like close, maybe 5-10 meters from Shamakund, and just chant japa. So one day he was sitting there chanting. Across, it's only maybe 30 meters away or something like that, is where Sanatan Goswami would stay. And Sanatan Goswami was watching him. While he's watching, he saw two tigers came down and started drinking water from Shamakund, just a few meters away from Raghunath Das Goswami. But Raghunath Das was just so absorbed in chanting, he was not aware that they were there. So Sanatan Goswami was very anxious. Maybe we'll have some great tragedy will happen here. But then he saw just behind Raghunath Das, Krishna appeared. And Krishna stood there, just maybe just a few meters behind him. And Krishna was guarding just to make sure nothing happened to Raghunath Das Goswami. So then the tigers left, and Krishna disappeared, and Sanatana Goswami came around and explained to Raghunath Das Goswami what had happened. You know, you could have easily just lost your life just like that. But Krishna came and protected you. You have engaged Krishna in your service. Of course, it's meant to be the other way around. We are meant to engage in Krishna's service. But he told him, you have engaged Krishna in your service to protect you. Don't do it. You must at least build a hut, some little structure, and at least there'll be some safety. And Raghunath Das said, you're right. I must do it. I must build a hut. Very good idea. And you know what he did? Do you know what Raghunath Das Goswami did? He didn't do anything. He didn't build the hut. He just continued living under the tree. Then shortly afterwards, it was midsummer, and there in Vrindavan, particularly in the Govardhan Hill area, they have real summers, or even I should say, they have summers, unlike in PE. But there they have real summers, and you know, it never gets beneath 40 degrees, and it's often 50 and 55. You know, it really gets hot. But Raghunath Das Goswami would just sit the whole day in the sun chanting japa. And you know, for a normal person, that's extremely dangerous. And in fact, you'll die. You'll at least get severe sunstroke. But he would just sit there and chant. And Sanatana Goswami was a little worried about it. Then one day, Sanatana Goswami saw, there's Raghunath Das chanting and chanting on the other side of the Kund, just straight under the blazing sun. And then Srimati Radharani came. She appeared and she stood right behind Raghunath Das and held her sari over Raghunath Das Goswami's head to shade him from the sun. And she, you know, because normally the sari goes over the head of the lady. And she, but now she's holding it over his head. And she's just exposed to the sun. And Sanatana Goswami saw Srimati Radharani was perspiring in the sun. And then after a little while, she disappeared. And then then Sanatana Goswami went around again to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, you know what happened now, this time? Radharani appeared. Now you were engaging Krishna in your service. Now you're engaging Srimati Radharani in your service. It's not right. You must build a hut. And you know what Raghunath Das Goswami did? Huh? He built a hut. He then built a hut. Because he felt, I cannot engage Radharani in my service. Okay, just one other little pastime. It's just very interesting. I mentioned how Raghunath Das Goswami had his program which included offering obeisances 3,000 times a day. That's a sort of like athletic feat. Because each obeisance is like a push-up, basically. You could say, in those terms. But he kept it up, even when he was old. Because he lived to be, if I remember correctly, anyway, he lived to be an old man. I don't know about, I heard 99, but maybe not 99, but he lived to be like a really elderly person. But he kept doing this program, and no one could stop him. So one day, it describes in Bhakti Ratnakara, one day, Raghunath Das a group of devotees, small group of devotees, were doing parikrama around Radhakund and Shyamakund. It had already been excavated, and there were a few temples here and there around these two kunds. So they're going and visiting the temples and offering obeisances to the deities. And they came to one temple, and there was Raghunath Das Goswami on the ground, flat out on the ground, offering prostrated obeisances. So they didn't think so much of it. They offered obeisances themselves and stood up and had darshan of the deities. But then they saw Raghunath Das Goswami did not get up. And then they understood he cannot get up because of old age. He can't do it. So they picked him up and sort of dusted him off a little. And they said, you know, you're such a great devotee. And now you're elderly. And it's very difficult for you to go down and then get up again. So you don't need to do it any longer. Just come in front of the deities. You can just stand there and offer your pranams and offer some prayers. Krishna will understand. So you don't need to make that like excessive physical endeavor. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, thank you very much for the suggestion. Thank you so much. I'll do what you say. That's a very good idea. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so off they went. The next day, those same devotees came around again. And they came to the same temple. And they went inside. And there was Raghunath Das Goswami on the floor, prostrated. And they offered their obeisances and got up, but he just lay there. They didn't say anything. They just carried on, because they understood his mind. So those are a few things about Raghunath Das Goswami. There's more we could say too, but that's... those are some things. Let us now say just a few words. One of the main reasons is because there's not much information about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. There is a bit, though, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghunath Bhatta. He is also young. Like... we mentioned Gopal Bhatta was a small boy. When Lord Chaitanya toured South India, and he served Lord Chaitanya for 4 months as a child. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was about the same age. Young. Maybe the same age as Jiva Goswami. A generation younger than Rupa and Sanatan. So, So Raghunath Bhatta, he was also in a devotee family. The family was from Mayapur and had been there. Of course, he was not born at the time, but had been there when Lord Chaitanya was having his earlier pastimes in Mayapur, Navadweep area. His father's name was Tapan Mishra, who was a very great devotee. So he's the son of Tapan Mishra. And after Lord Chaitanya's father passed away, and Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya to do the last rites, as Lord Chaitanya was traveling to and fro, he stopped there on the way to Gaya and spent some days with Tapan Mishra and met Raghunath Bhatta, the son. And Raghunath Bhatta also served him very nicely. And Lord Chaitanya told him, when your parents pass away, come and join me. His parents passed away 4 years later, and Raghunath Bhatta went to Jagannath Puri and stayed with Lord Chaitanya. And he had a very profound relationship with Lord Chaitanya. He would read Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Chaitanya. He was expert in two things. One, reciting Bhagavatam verses. He could recite any verse in three or four different tunes. That was one thing. And when he chanted those verses, it was very beautiful, extremely beautiful. And his other expertise was cooking. Can you cook? Are you teaching them?
Yes.
Please do it. Next time I come, I want them to cook something for me.
I will.
Mummy's a good cook. I found out yesterday. So he was Raghunath Bhatta, expert cook. Incredible cook. Whatever he cooked would taste like nectar. So he also then, well, Lord Chaitanya sent him to Vrindavan. And there's a particular verse. I mean, there's a couple of things, but there's a particular verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which is very significant in terms of the character and qualities of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is the translation. Raghunath Bhatta would neither hear nor speak about anything of the material world. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. This is a symptom of Uttama Adhikari, just highest level devotee. So let me read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Raghunath Bhatta never did anything harmful to a Vaishnava. In other words, he was never inattentive in the service of the Lord, nor did he ever violate the rules and regulations of a pure Vaishnava. It's very interesting. You know, Prabhupada says he never did anything harmful to a Vaishnava. In other words, what that means is he was always very careful and attentive in serving the Lord, and he never violated the rules. So, it is the duty of a Vaishnava Acharya to prevent his disciples and followers from violating the principles of Vaishnava behavior. He should always advise them to strictly follow the regulative principles, which will protect them from falling down. Although a Vaishnava preacher may sometimes criticize others, Raghunath Bhatta avoided this. Even if another Vaishnava was actually at fault, Raghunath Bhatta would not criticize him. He saw only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. That is the position of a Mahabhagavat, means great pure devotee. Actually, even if one is serving Maya, in a higher sense, he is also a servant of Krishna. Because Maya is the servant of Krishna, because Maya is the servant of Krishna, anyone serving Maya serves Krishna indirectly. Therefore it is said, Kehamani, Kehane Mani, Sabatan Radas, Yena Mani, Tarahaya, Se Pape Nash. Some accept him, whereas others do not. Yet everyone is his servant. Him means the Supreme Lord. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was absorbed in remembrance of Lord Krishna, he would take the tulsi garland and the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bind them together, and wear them on his neck. Thus I have described the powerful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which Raghunath Bhatta Goswami remained constantly overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki.
Yeah.
Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami Ki.
Yeah.
Go Premanande.
Yeah.
Haribo. Now, I don't know if we have any time. Do we have any time? Anyway, anyone have a comment or question or any point they'd like to raise? Oh, okay. Sure. We got some questions here, actually. Yes, okay. Let's see. What now? Are the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, which he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, are they meant for all the devotees? Or are these instructions just for Raghunath Das? Because they seem very high. Well, of course, our Krishna consciousness is a personal process. And in this case, those very, strong instructions, they were specifically for Raghunath Das. But we should also, apply them in ways which are relevant to us. Live simply, eat simply, dress simply, talk about Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, so we should also do that. At least as much as we can, and sort of try and work on it and develop it. and to always chant and try to be very humble and glorify others and appreciate others. So in our own little ways, we can try to apply these things. But in the case of Raghunath Das, Lord Chaitanya, he meant it. You just do it completely. So he did. He rigidly applied those standards. And the other standards I mentioned of hardly sleeping and chanting so much, etc., offering obeisances. Chaitanya Charitamrita says his following of those rules was so strict. It was just like lines which are carved in rock. If you manage to carve a line in rock somehow, then you can come back some years later. The line will not have wavered or moved or been washed away. It'll be there as it was. So that was Raghunath Das Goswami. Did Raghunath Das Goswami run from his duties as the householder? Well, you heard what we said. The answer is yes, he did. What happened to his wife? Well, we don't know exactly, but we assume, because she was also a very good devotee, and she understood the position, who is Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Nityananda, and what is the status of a husband, we assume she chanted Hare Krishna and practiced Krishna consciousness. What is the difference between mental fabrication of japa meditations on the pastimes of Krishna and that of remembrance of them? Well, that's a good point. You know, we mentioned how Rupa Goswami, and this evening we mentioned Raghunath Das, they're chanting japa and become deeply absorbed and then enter into the actual pastimes of Radha Krishna and see them and speak with them and just interact directly because of the extremely exalted level of their Krishna consciousness. For us, we can't do that. We should chant as attentively as we possibly can, but even if we do chant as attentively as we can possibly do it, we're not going to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, at this stage at least. The thing is this, he was not sort of trying to engineer his entering into the pastimes. It would just happen naturally. So when we are chanting, we should chant and hear the chanting. And ideally we should just focus on that and not really think about anything. Because if you think of anything, it'll distract you from the chanting and hearing the chanting. Yeah. You know, of course, if your mind is wandering, which, you know, every mind is prone to do from time to time, the minds of the conditioned souls like us, if the mind is wandering, then rather than just let it wander wherever it wants to go, if we can direct it to think of some pastime, you know, in some 10 days or whatever it is, a week or so, is Govardhan Puja. So you could think of the Govardhan Leela and all the different things that happen. It's a lot better than thinking about work. or just, you know, what's going on in life, politics, what's my bank balance, you know, all these things that the mind may be more inclined to think of. So better to think of the pastimes of Krishna while you're chanting than think of things like that. But best is to just focus on the chanting. Make sure you're chanting properly and hear your chanting properly and become absorbed in the transcendental sound vibration. So that's the idea in that case. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Srinathai Gaura Sundar ki. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki. Okay, devotees.